I'm just curious, as we get started today, how many of you have ever run away from home? Anybody do that when you were a youngster? Okay. Just, you know, picture with me, you know, I don't know, kindergarten, first grader, six or seven, you know, something is not right in their world. And so, you know, they've seen it on TV, so they go out in the backyard and they get one of those sticks and they've got a red handkerchief and they, you know, they get their favorite toys and a bottle of water if they think that far ahead, and they head out. You know, I'm going to make them miss me, that sort of thing. And, you know, if you've seen those stories or heard those stories, you know, they're kind of cute and funny, and chances are they made it a few blocks, and before too long, maybe an hour or two, they got hungry and made their way back home. And, you know, more often than not, mom and dad didn't even know they were gone, right? I don't know about you. I never tried that when I was a kid. I had some buddies in grade school that were pretty big talkers, and so I'm going to run away from home. I'm going to go. You know, it usually didn't work out like they thought, right? There are some things in life that I would not be good at. That's one of them. I probably would not have been very good at running away from home because I liked my home. I mean, I liked my bed and the food and the things that we had there. But as I look back at my life, there are some things I have been more successful at. And one of those would be running away from God. I don't know about you, but as I look back at life, there have been a few times I've kind of run away from God. Perhaps the most profound was when I was 18 years old. I was getting ready to go off to college, and I knew that God was kind of leading me towards youth ministry and that sort of thing, but instead of going the 65 miles east to the Christian college that our church was heavily involved in, I went 3.5 hours north to Manhattan, Kansas to study there. And it was there that my college choice and God's plans for life kind of collided. It didn't take a few months to realize, hey, something is not right here. And I did. I came to my senses and I got back on God's path and God's leading in my life. But let me ask you something this morning. Church, have you ever tried to run away from God? Have you ever tried to run the other direction? You knew that God was calling you to something, to do something, to be something or whatnot, but you just didn't want to do it, and so you ran the other direction. Well, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study through the book of Jonah, this story about a man named Jonah, perhaps the most famous runner of all time. It's an amazing story. I want to invite you this morning, if you have your Bible or if you use a smartphone or if you have the outline in your bulletin, please pull that out and get ready. We've got some blanks to fill in, some material to work through. I also want you to locate the book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament. It's in between Obadiah and Micah. And you might be thinking, well, that's very helpful, Seth. I was just reading in Obadiah yesterday, and it's not the most easy of the books to find. In fact, if you have difficulty, don't feel bad. Just use your table of contents. No shame in that. But find the book of Jonah. While we're getting started, let me share a little bit about Jonah, about the book of Jonah. If you've been in church for a while or just, you know, a short while, perhaps you've heard about Jonah. And, you know, maybe to you, it's been a bit of a fable. I mean, if we're honest with one another, it's kind of a difficult story to swallow, right? You guys are so slow. So here's this guy, right? And God calls him to go somewhere, and he runs from God. He gets on this boat. He finds himself thrown over the side of the boat in the ocean, and he finds himself inside the belly of this big fish for 3 days. Really? Did it really happen like that? I mean, is that how it really happened? I just want to tell you this morning, I want you to know as we embark on this study together, I personally believe the story of Jonah as it's written in the Bible. And I'll tell you, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks about Jonah. And he talks about him as a real man. And he talks about him as a real individual. Jesus believed in Jonah as a real person, as this being a real event, as Jesus being a real, true historical figure. And I just kind of have a rule in life. If Jesus believes something, then I'm going to believe it. I'm going to kind of roll with that. Well, there's a second reason I believe in the story of Jonah as it's written. I believe in a big God. I believe in a God that is big enough that can actually make a fish big enough to create an environment that a man could survive there for 3 days and be well and healthy. I don't know how he did it. I'm not even sure that I care to know how he did it, but I believe he could. And I hope and I believe that you should believe that as well. And this might be a stretch, but think about it for a moment. Most of you, all of you, spent roughly 9 months in your mama's belly, right? And so if God can create the miracle of creating a child and birth and living inside a woman's body for 9 months, surely He can figure out how to keep a man alive and well and healthy in the belly of a fish for a few days. But here's what I want us to be sure of. Here's what I want to challenge you with as we begin this series. I don't want you to get sidetracked by, well, was He really in the belly of the fish for 3 days? Was He, you know, really in there, and was He praying? Was He breathing? Was he alive? Did he maybe die for a moment? I don't want you to get sidetracked with that and miss all of the great powerful stories or lessons for our life from the life of Jonah, because we're sidetracked on these other issues. I believe the story of Jonah is bigger than just Jonah and a big fish. If you're familiar with the book of Jonah, it's just 48 verses long total. 4 chapters, 2 pages. I mean, if you got something sticky in your Bible between those 2 pages, you'd miss it altogether. It's short. But just in those 48 verses, those short 4 chapters, it's basically, friends, the outline of our lives, of most of our lives. You see, the story of Jonah is really all of our stories. Each one of us, I'm willing to guarantee, each one of us could look back at our lives, and if we're honest, we can recognize, we can think about a time, we can reflect about a time when we were running away and resisting God and His leading. But what most of us runners, if you will, have discovered in our life, Chris is probably laughing because I'm not really a runner. I jog, but anyway. Most of us runners from God, if you will, have discovered in our life that you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. You can certainly run from God, but you cannot outrun God. And you know that's true because you have. Some of you are right now. You can run from God, but you cannot outrun God. And here's what I want us to do today. I want us to read the first chapter of Jonah chapter 1. It's just 17 verses. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some lessons from this first chapter. So let's dive in. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and following. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Everybody say Tarshish. Tarshish, fun word. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah, and they said, But they took Jonah, and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, just chapter 1 is a pretty powerful, amazing story. And I want to pause just a moment. Let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for this story, and I thank you for Jonah. And God, I pray that over the next few moments together that you would help us to have great insight and great wisdom into this story, into these verses. Perhaps for some of us, it's the first time we're reading this, but for many others, Father, we've seen this story many times, but help us today to have fresh ears, to see it with new eyes, things that we've never seen before in the story. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the first thing, the first lesson, the first understanding I want us to see from the life of Jonah. When we start to run away from God, sometimes we run to some odd and unsafe places. Odd and unsafe places. Let me give you just a little bit of geography here. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. And this is modern day Joppa area. Okay, this is what we know as Tel Aviv, Israel. This isn't what it would have looked like when Jonah was standing there, but this is the area he would have been. Joppa. Well, we know that God called him to Nineveh, and I want to look on a map where Nineveh is in regards to Joppa. So Jonah's down here in Joppa, and he's called to go up to Nineveh, which is about 500 miles north and a little bit east of there. Would have been modern day Iraq. And God has called Jonah to go there and preach to the people. But Nineveh is the capital of the people of Assyria, okay, the Assyrian nation. It would have been one of the most powerful nations in the world at that point, and Nineveh was one of their largest cities. Some scholars would say 600,000 to a million people perhaps resided in this city. It was huge. And these people from Assyria, they were vicious. They were the arch enemy of Jonah and the people in Israel. They were a vicious people. You can do some research on it. I'll share with you one thing. The Assyrians had perfected the art of capturing people and skinning them alive, filleting them. They would skin people. That's one of the things that they were known for and one of the things that people feared them for. And so here's Jonah, growing up as a young man, he would have heard these stories about these people from Nineveh, these Assyrians, and then God is all of a sudden wanting him to go over there. And Jonah doesn't want to do it. I mean, Jonah and all the people, all of his people, are praying that God would destroy Nineveh, just like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But what I basically want to start out by saying is we should not be hating on Jonah, if you will, for doing something, for not wanting to go there. I mean, the way that God looked at Nineveh and the way Jonah looked at Nineveh were two very, very different viewpoints. And Jonah was only doing something that we find ourselves doing as well, right? When God calls us to go somewhere and do something and we run in the other direction, that's what Jonah did. Look at the map again. He's called to go to Nineveh, and instead it says he heads towards Tarshish, right? I mean, Tarshish in Jonah's day would have been about as far away as you could go in the known world. And he gets on this boat and goes to this place, the farthest place. I mean, it's the edge of Spain. It's, well, some Bible scholars say it would take months and months, maybe even a year to get there by boat, by this old boat. This is not a Carnival cruise line. It's not like Jonah's on the back, you know, hitting golf balls into the water. There's no buffet at lunchtime. There's no dinner theater shows or anything to watch. This is a terrible, awful, long, hazardous trip across the ocean, all the way to the tip of Spain. And what I want you to notice is Jonah doesn't say, well, no, God, I'm not going to go and just stay there. He actually gets on a boat and heads the opposite direction, 2,000 miles away from where God had called him to go. Basically, it's as if Jonah was saying this, God, I still believe in you, but I'm not going to do what you want me to do. And you know, don't we do that too? Don't we find ourselves saying that as well? God, I still believe in you. God, I'm going to go to church, but I'm not going to go do that. God, I believe in you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible, but God, I'm not going to go do that. God, I'll continue to talk to people about you, but what you're asking me to do is going to cost me too much. Or it's going to cost me my career or my friendships or something like that. I'm going to have to uproot my family. And so a lot of times in our lives, we do the same thing that Jonah did as we decide to run away from God. And we run to some very odd and unsafe places, don't we? You know, as I was reading through the first chapter of Jonah, kind of preparing for this message, I found myself thinking, Jonah, if you're going to run away from God, don't get on a boat. I mean, at least stay on dry land. At least keep some terrain underneath you. Keep some earth beneath your feet if you're going to run. But what I've discovered as a pastor talking to people through the years, and what I've experienced in my own life, is oftentimes when we run from God, we go to some odd and unsafe places. And sooner or later, usually, you know the saying, 20/20, hindsight is 20/20. But sooner or later, we oftentimes look back on those things, and don't we tell ourselves, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? Isn't that true for you? Now just answer this in your own mind. But some of the biggest regrets in your life, haven't they come during seasons of running? Trying to get away from what God has called you to do? And a lot of times, you know, when we start to run away from God, the people in our lives who love us, the friends and family members, don't they oftentimes look at us and say, you're going to marry her? You're dating him? You're moving where? I guarantee you probably heard this one. You bought what? They care about us. And they want to see us grow. And they say all kinds of things to us. When you and I decide to run away from God, oftentimes we run to some odd and unsafe places. But when that happens, let me share the next thing that seems to happen that we learn from the life of Jonah. Life begins to unravel. Life begins to unravel. It's not always immediate. It's not always in that moment. I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit, but life begins to unravel. And as we look at the life of Jonah, there are at least three things as his life unravels that kind of progress, that are kind of sequential. And I want you to write these down. I want you to maybe even do a personal evaluation this morning or this afternoon or this week, a diagnostic. How am I doing? How does this line up with where I'm at? First of all, as things begin to unravel in Jonah's life, here's the first thing that seems to happen, and in our lives as well, we stop hearing God's voice. We stop hearing God's voice. In verse 1 of Jonah chapter 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." And then we get down to verse 5. I mean, in verse 1, Jonah's still listening to him. But we get down to verse 5, and it's no longer the word of God. It's now the works of God. It's the rain. And it's the thunder, and it's the storm, and it's the waves. It's the works of God. And let me ask you something this morning, church, and don't answer this out loud. Don't stand up and say amen. But are there times in your life where you felt like the world was just kind of working against you? Have there been times in life where you felt like maybe just nature was kind of working against you? It might be. I don't believe it always is, but it might be, based on what we learn from Jonah, it very well could be. It could be this, that you've stopped listening to God's words, that somehow you've hardened your heart against God's words, and so He's begun to get your attention, to try to get your attention in other ways. And maybe it's not a boat or a storm, maybe it's a car, or maybe it's a job, or maybe it's a relationship, or another person, or something that just seems to be kind of working against you. And I'll tell you, when we stop listening to God's words in our life, sometimes God's going to try to get our attention in other ways. Well, let me tell you something else that happens. This is the second thing in the progression. As life continues to unravel, we start to confuse opportunity with God's blessing. We start to confuse opportunities with God's blessing. And I know the last thing I said was a little controversial, but just stay with me here. I'm going to say something here that might, you're going to push back a little bit perhaps, depending on how you were raised. I know I was raised this way. But we need to understand, here's what I want to say. Favorable circumstances do not always equal God's will. Favorable circumstances in your life do not always equal God's will in your life or God's blessing in your life. In line with the story, maybe this is another way to say it. There will always be a ship in the harbor willing to take you in the wrong direction. There will always be a ship in the harbor willing and ready to take you in the wrong direction. Think about this story again. This is a prophet of God. This is Jonah, a leader of God. This guy is close to God, and yet he's running away from Him. He's running away from God, and yet he goes down to a port, and there just happens to be a boat in the port. And somehow Jonah just happens to have the money for the fare. I mean, this is a long trip. It's an expensive trip. He would have had to pay quite a bit of money. And it's like, well, hey, here's a boat. God's given me the money. He's blessed me with the resources. It must be of God. Maybe I'll get on the boat. And then, you know, we see him and he's down underneath and he's sleeping like a baby. He's doing just fine, it would seem. And I've had people in life, I bet you have too, who have said, well, Seth, if God's in it and the Holy Spirit is in it, then it ought to just work out smoothly. Things ought to go well. I mean, if it's, and they'll flip that around. Well, if it's going well, then it must be of God. And friends, there's something that you need to understand. I don't think that's always true. Just because something is going well, just because someone is succeeding or being blessed, and I say that in parentheses, does not mean it's of God. You can actually be running away from God and yet still feel, at least for a little while, that things are going well. And that things are good. How things go, oh, you know, we're doing great. We're in the best place of our lives. And you could still be moving away from God. Some of you this morning are thinking, I really wish you hadn't told me that. Because how am I supposed to make sense of that then? I mean, if what I'm experiencing, if I feel like things are kind of good and going along smooth, and you're telling me that at the same time I could still be moving away from God, well then how do I know? Am I in line with God's will? Or am I going against God's will? Have I hardened my heart to Him? How do I know? Well, here's a third progression that might be a little helpful to you. Look around. Look around at the people that you're involved in life in, at your family, at your friends. Look at the people who are in your life. And here's the third thing I want you to know. If you're running away from God, we will hurt those who are close to us. We will hurt those who are close to us. We will always hurt those who are close to us if we begin running away from God. We start not hearing God's voice anymore, and He starts to try and get our attention in other ways. And then we begin to mistake opportunity for blessing because, hey, they're there. I got the money. Or the money's coming in, or whatever it is, and we will hurt those around us. When someone is running from God, people who are around them will always be adversely impacted. Let's look back at Jonah again and what's taking place here. He's on this boat with these sailors. They're on the ship and their lives were dramatically impacted, weren't they? These guys in verse 5, we learn that they had to throw the cargo overboard. I mean, the cargo, isn't that the main reason for cargo boats, for ships to travel from one port to another, was to deliver goods of some sort. And so they're going to arrive at this port perhaps now and they're not going to have any cargo to sell. They're not going to have any money. They're probably going to lose their jobs. Their lives have been very adversely impacted. But they're not worried about any of that right now. They're just worried about living. They're worried about losing their lives. And church, I just want to tell you from this example, all they did, all that those sailors did, the only thing they did, the only thing they're guilty of was they let this guy who was running from God get on their boat. That's it. That's all the sailors did, and it took them to a very dangerous place here. And so let me break this down for us. Hopefully we can apply this to our lives. Men, let me talk to you men for a minute. Men, if you are running from God, if you are hiding things from God, if you are resisting God's design for your life, guess what? Your wife, your children will pay a price. And you know, you can pray to God that He will protect your wife and kids, and chances are He will, but there will be a season of life when you're running from God that your children, your wife, will be hurt by the choices that you are making. Ladies, it's the same thing. Women, wives, moms, it's the same thing. What about those of you who are single? Let me talk to you for a minute. Some of you, you know, your friends have been, you know, saying, well, you're getting so upset when you begin to date someone or make some decisions or that sort of thing. And, you know, you've got the best intentions, but your friends know that they can see it very clearly that this guy or this girl is actually running away from God. They can see it. There's evidence for it. And you wonder, why are they so upset? They care about you. You're going to get hurt when you get too close to people who are running away from God. I don't know if we have any teenagers in the room this morning, but you know, if there are, you know, sometimes we get upset, or I got upset, I'm not a teenager anymore, but we get upset when mom and dad say, well, hey, who are those friends you're hanging around? Who are those people that you're running with? But your parents know that if you run around with people who are running from God, there's going to be trouble in your life. They know that and they care about you. And church, everybody this morning, when we start to run from God, life begins to unravel. We stop hearing God's voice. We mistake opportunity with God's blessing in our lives, and we will always hurt those we're closest to. But you know what the good news is? Here's the good part of the story. That's not the whole story. Chapter 1, there's still 3 chapters to go. And thank God that's not the whole story of the life of Jonah, of the life for you, of the life for me. It's not all bad news. Here's the good news in the story. When you run, when I run, when we run, God doesn't just sit there and say, have a nice run. See ya, half past never. Have fun. See you later. You know, that's not what he does. God doesn't do that. We discover in the story of Jonah that when Jonah ran, God in his epic grace and his mercy somehow finds a way to get involved in the little details of our lives, in the intimate details of our lives, in the inner workings of things. Friends, do you know why God provided the storm? It says he provided the storm. Do you know why he had that big fish for Jonah to be in those days? Maybe this is a little closer to home. Do you know why the circumstances in your life sometimes get a little bit crazy? Or maybe why God even messes with your finances on occasion, or your career, or maybe even your health on occasion? Friends, it leads us to our third understanding from this story in Jonah. God gets involved in our lives not to pay us back, but to bring us back. Not to punish us, not to pay us back, but to bring us back. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how your week has gone, or your month, or this season of life you're living. I have no idea. And you may not believe what I'm about to tell you, but I still feel this morning you need to hear it, and I hope that you know it, and I hope that if not, that you'll start to believe it. God loves you. God loves you. Each and every one of you who are here today, he has chosen to get involved in the intimate details of your life, not to pay you back, but to bring you back, whatever it takes to bring you back. God's goal has never been to pay you back, but to bring you back. And let me tell you something else about when we choose to run from God. I want to kind of pull this together in the next few minutes. But when we choose to run from God, we cannot outrun God. But God doesn't chase you. He goes ahead and he waits for you. When you and I decide to run from God, he doesn't chase you down so much as he goes ahead and he waits for you. What do I mean by that? Well, here's a little secret about God. God knows where you're going. God knows where you're headed. God knows where you're going to be, where you're going to end up. And so I believe it's like he goes there and he waits. It's like he says, okay, go. I'm going to wait for you. Where I know where you will be. And here's what's crazy. Some of you, friends, have been running for months. Some of you have been running for years. Some of you have been running from God for decades. And somehow, some way, this morning, perhaps, you've had a collision with God here in this place. And what's amazing for me to think about or consider is, if that's your situation, God knew this would happen. God knew you would be here, and God knew that we would be talking about Jonah this morning, and somehow, some way, he's been waiting for you. Friends, don't miss that. Don't miss the opportunity to collide with God this morning if you have been running. I've got a question I want you to leave here later this morning and just consider. Here's the takeaway this morning. What is one area of life where you're running from God? If you write in your Bible, maybe you write that question next to the title of Jonah chapter 1. What is one area of life where you're running from God? And maybe years from now or months from now, you'll go back and read Jonah, and that will just be an opportunity to reflect on that again. God, I still believe in you, but I'm not going to do that. God, I still believe in you, but I'm going to keep my friends my friends. God, I still believe in you, but my finances are going to stay just how I want them to be. God, I still believe in you, but I'm not going to that place. What is an area of your life that you've not allowed God into? That you're running from God, that you're resisting God. An area of your life that you're hiding from God. And here's my prayer for you today. Would this random weekend in October, perhaps would this be the weekend where you choose to stop running from God? Where you choose to be able to look back one day and say, that was the weekend that I stopped running from God. Would you use this series over the next few weeks as a catalyst to stop running from God? Next week we're going to dive into chapter 2. The entire chapter, except maybe the last half of the last verse, Jonah is in the belly of a fish. The whole chapter is in the belly of a fish, and we're going to see God and His grace, what He does when we stop and surrender to Him. Let's pray together.